Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm working. Hold on. Should be good. Is it now? All right. Ask you to pray for Xander. He's at home with pneumonia. I knew there was a problem when I looked up this morning, and Danielle was taking him out of the church service, and I go, well, that doesn't happen. I go, that'd be something. So we took him into the clinic. If you've been around him, you've been near him over the last couple of days, it's likely he's not contagious, but he's at home resting. And that's, we're going to have to talk him into not doing school tomorrow. And I don't know how to feel about that. One part of me is incredibly proud. The other one's like, man, kid, come on, enjoy a day off. But no, be in prayer for him. Everyone else seems to be getting through whatever coughs or colds that we had. And I pray the same goes for your folks. If anybody here is still out there facing those coughs and colds, Lord, protect you as we get through the cold and flu season. And he takes it away. I just want to say this. I know that Tyler and Jada have expressed their gratitude for all that was done yesterday. I just want to say, as a pastor, I'm incredibly proud of the work that was put in and the attitudes in which we have had. Can't tell you how many compliments, how many things that were said. Oh, look how wonderful that is. Look at all the people. How many people do you have doing this? How often do you do stuff like that? And it's a joy to be a part of a church that cares for its people. And I pray that every member here, every visitor here, understands the value that you have as being a part of this and how much of a joy you are. And as a matter of fact, that will be part of what we talk about tonight. This love that the man of God has for the laborers. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us this. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this, that when you look at Home Missionary Baptist Church, you look at a church that is willing to work. Father, not just that we would feed our bellies, not just that we would have a good time, but Father, we would work the Great Commission with all fervor and, Lord, with all zeal. Help us, Lord, to be a calmness for each other, a presence for each other, a comfort for each other. Lord, help us to help each other. Encourage us, Lord, strengthen us. Let forgiveness be bountiful and let love be even more so. So that, Father, we may bring you honor and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. He says to them, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. It is so easy within the confines of a church to call each other brother or sister. These words, in my opinion, are not throwaway words. So often people take biblical phrases and they, well, that's just okay. Well, that's just the nice thing that you say, right? Oh, Paul was just saying the nice thing. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. These are just nice things. Oh, I tell you what, your hair looks so wonderful today. How are you? Oh, this is fantastic. Look at your shoes. I love them. Earl, can I talk about your shoes at the wedding for a second? Boy comes into my office, he shows me his shoes. He had black shoes with purple laces. He goes, look, Pastor, I put purple laces on my shoes. I go, that's wonderful. And I see him in the hallway later, and I'm looking at those shoes because I want to see those purple laces again. I look down. What was that, crocodile? I don't know. He had these leather shoes that were purple, matched his little cumber, his vest. That's fantastic. Not often you see something like that. You know, oh, that's nice. How often have you said that to somebody? And you really don't care? How often have we asked this? How are you doing today? I used to be in a bad habit of that. My pastor had to grab me one time, said, stop doing that. You know what I used to do? I used to walk by, hi, how you doing? He goes, you ask a question, then you walk away from people. Don't do that. I still do that. I apologize. I try to be in two places at once, and I end up being rude in both.
actually ask. When Paul is writing, I don't believe that Paul had this English-American politeness in what he is saying. I think these words mattered. I think he chose them specifically. If you look at Philippians, Philippians is the nicest of the letters. I mean, you didn't want what the Corinthians got. You don't want what the Colossians got. And you certainly don't want what the Galatians got. I mean, you think about it. Oh, foolish Galatians. You crazy people from Mount Morris. We wouldn't want that. And yet all the same, when we see these words, they're overflowing, they're nice, they're sweet. And he's saying these things to them. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, the man of God ought to love the church. He ought to love the people in it. And oh, sometimes it doesn't come off that way. Man, I've left church services sitting there. I didn't even want to make eye contact with my pastor. Just angry at him for the bug he must have put on my phone. Or the listening device he had up in my house. How did he know? Sometimes it was more than just my toes being stepped on. Sometimes I left just feeling obliterated. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Now listen, our ultimate focus here is God. We want to follow God, we want to please God, but there's a man behind this pulpit who loves this church, and that's the way it ought to be. A love. A love that goes to the individual, a love that goes to the member that's been here for 7,000 years, to the person who just started coming. There ought to be love. And that's what Paul expresses to them. And he says it and he doesn't sound apologetic in it. My dearly beloved and longed for. It was a long distance relationship he had with many of these churches. Long distance relationships aren't very fun, are they? No, they are not. And he's writing, I long for you. You are beloved to me. God's men ought to love the church. And the church must mean everything to him. Must mean everything. Folks, when we do the things that we do here, the love that we have for each other ought to be to the point to where it is easy for us to get along to do things. It ought to be easy for us to get together and share prayer requests. Man, it is a bummer sometimes. You sit there and you say, all right, what new prayer requests do we have? And there's not much that comes in, right? Well, why? I don't feel comfortable sharing. Man, we ought to feel comfortable. Now listen, some people share more often than not. I'm not trying to shame people who don't like to share. That's not my point. My point is this. This ought to feel comfortable. This ought to be a comfortable place for you. You ought to be welcome. And you ought to understand that whatever is said is going to be taken in love and is going to be handled in love, scripturally, but in love. Some, they take the scripture and they use it in an abusive way. You know, how often have we seen where absolutely Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, but you know what he also did one day? He started flipping tables one day. He wasn't above calling a generation of vipers a generation of vipers. Yeah, sure, there is harsh correction. Sometimes there's issues, but we can never forget that the ultimate plan is redemption. The ultimate plan is to make us better. My brethren, dearly beloved. He sits there and he's writing to them and he says to them, you are longed for. Can I tell you this? When you're not here, if you don't think anybody misses you, I miss you. Well, I don't really do anything. We don't do this. We don't. I miss you. And I wonder if you're okay. I wonder if you're doing all right. There's anything I can do for you. And I know that if I ask, I'll get the same thing I always get. No, we're fine. And I can't fault you because I'm guilty of that myself. Pastor, you need anything? Nope, I'm fine. I know I'm not fine. You know I'm not fine. I know you're not fine. None of us are fine. We could help each other, but no, stiff upper lip, man. We're fine. Now there ought to be that longing for each other. I can't wait till Wednesdays. Now, that might be because I'm the guy who gets to come up here and talk and you guys have to sit still, but I long for Wednesdays. I long for Sunday mornings. And I'll sit there, I'll get to about 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and I go, man, I cannot wait to see them again. That ought to be the love that we have in getting together. Somebody said, well, you get together, why would you start a thing on Friday as well as the men's and ladies' fellowship? Men's fellowship this Tuesday, 6:30, by the way. Why would you do these things? Because I'm addicted to you guys. Listen, there's not a lot of people I can go to in life and talk about things in the way I talk about them to you. We talk about things we have read. We talk about things we know. We talk about things we understand. So often in life when I'm walking around, I've got to explain things and go in depth in things. I like it when we can just get around and talk too. I love that. I love our Friday morning get-togethers when we're sitting there and it doesn't default to politics and it doesn't default to what's going on in the neighborhood. And we stay right on topic. You know, we've had it happen so often, 11 o'clock hits. And I go, it's 11 o'clock and we're still talking about the devotion. Praise the Lord for that. We're on the same topic. We might have gone to different scripture, and those are my favorite too. When someone sits there and says, well, yeah, well, over here in this passage, it backs it up and says this. Whoo, that's exciting. Why? Because we take joy in each other's company in the Word of God. That's special. Man, Thanksgiving's coming up. There's going to be some landmines people have to avoid in Thanksgiving. Somebody sent me a video, and I'm looking at the video, and I'm laughing. And I send it to Danielle, and I said, hon, I could put this out there in the Thanksgiving chat, and we could stay home this year. She hasn't responded yet. I'm eager to see what she's going to say. It's going to be rough. You know, I don't normally have that problem here among God's people. I long for it. It used to be, man, when I was living down by my family, man, I was home. And I hated to be anywhere else but home. And I missed out on a lot of things because I didn't want to be anywhere else but home. I moved and I figured, man, what am I going to do? I went down to Cincinnati for a while, but ever since then I'm married, had kids. I've never been this far away from home. Guess what? I'm home. Man, I'll get down there around Southfield and a little bit south, more south than that, and I don't like it. I can't wait to get back. We'll go off at another, go to a conference. We'll go to this thing over here, this thing over there. I can't wait to get back to this church. That ought to be our heart, that we love each other that way. But folks, we know that there are things that get in the way of that. There are things that impede our enjoyment and our longing for each other. Those things are bitterness, rude things being said, a lack of desire to work together, a lack of desire to put in effort, bitterness, whatever. I'm pretty sure I've said that already. But there's so many things that get in the way. Sin gets in the way of true fellowship. Man, we ought to get all that swept out of the way so we could really enjoy each other's presence. Amen. Absolutely hate it when it happens, when church members stop talking to each other. Why? Because they're up to something, or somebody said something, or something terrible's going on. So now all of a sudden we're going through church in armor, just not wanting anybody to say anything to us, not wanting anybody to cross us. We're just terrified that somebody will find out we're up to something. Oh, that we would go back to the other sheep with our wounds and our hurts and say, help me. Help me get through this. Help me figure this out. Help me do the right thing. That we would long for each other because we feel so comfortable with each other. We must demonstrate and we must turn on an atmosphere of love, of wanting the best for each other. That must be what is expected out of Home Missionary Baptist Church, that no matter what, whether it's going to be something that's easy for me to hear or something that's going to be hard for me to hear, I know that the person saying it wants what's best for me. Because we love each other that way. We love each other that way. You sit there, you'll go around people, and maybe something's wrong with your clothes. And every now and then people are too polite to say anything. So you walk around with something stuck to your back or something going on with your clothes. And people are just too polite to say anything. Just recently been spending a little bit more time with my brother. And I remember what it's like growing up with a kid. Yeah, everybody else, hey, listen. You need to go like this. My brother will sit there and go, whoo, what do you got shoved up your nose? In public. We were out to eat with my mom. And it was almost like a game we would play as kids to see who could cause mom to have fits first. And we'd just be real honest about stuff. Hey, listen, it's not about embarrassing each other. It's not about causing damage, but it's also about, hey, when I go to my church family, I'm going to get a square deal. They're going to tell me the way it is because they love God and they love me, and that ought to be our heart. That we would love God and love each other. This is my joy and my crown. My joy and my crown. What's amazing about this is the Philippians, they didn't just bring joy to Paul. They were the joy. They were the joy. You go down to my office, there's pictures of different things that the church has done. You go over to the corkboard over here, there's pictures of the church doing things together. You even go back to the fellowship hall, and there's pictures there. I love leaving pictures all over the place. Why? Because you bring me joy. Much like we bring God joy. Look at them down there. Look at my people gathered together, singing my praises. We bring to God joy. And that must be what we're doing. Not bringing hurt, not bringing selfishness, but bringing godliness into each other's lives. Being joy to each other. I want you to think of the last time, many of you have grandchildren, I want you to think of the last time you saw your grandchildren. I know of a family, I won't tell you who it is, they've got a little daughter, and the dad has been a little too passive with the daughter. At just a family I know. And the little girl had a fit yesterday and started hitting her brothers. To the point to where she got she got spankings and she got timeout. And the dad, I'm not going to tell you who he is for his privacy, sitting there at the end of the day talking to his mom. What happened? Man, the little girl, she got so much punishment today for being mean. There was a time where she hit her brother, and then she got timeout for doing it. And the moment she got out of timeout, she ran right back at him and hit him again like it was his fault. She goes, "Don't be mean to that little girl." Could you believe that? Almost said, "I told her that story." I told her that story. And I could see the smile on her face. Those kids bring her joy. Your grandkids bring you joy. That's the kind of joy you got to bring into this church. That's the joy you got to be when somebody comes, when your name comes to mind. When God is looking at this church, I want Him. I want us to be His joy. See those people? They're not wavering. You see those people? They love me, and I love them. Paul said, "You're my joy. You're my crown." Now, crown doesn't just mean honor. Crown is a reward, so often used in the language there, so often used to denote a reward. You are my reward. You know, some churches, their pastor doesn't necessarily feel that way. Now, I've talked to some pastors, and they've told horror stories, and I'm sure you've heard some too, Tyler. Just pastors get into churches, and they are problems. Brother Hugin said this at the conference last weekend. He said that we ought to be a church fitly framed together, not a church framed together to cause fits. And some places, that's what it is. They're just there to have fits. They're not grumpy enough in their day job, so they got to have a place to go on weekends and on a Wednesday to go be grumpy there. And they grump at the pastor and they grump at their fellow church members and I can't believe we're going with this color instead of that color and all. We fuss and we hoot and we holler. That's not the way we ought to be. We ought to be joy. He says, your crown, your reward. Not that they belong to Paul, but to be in their presence, to be with them, to serve them was a reward to him. It's like how we say today, my pleasure. Now, we often say that because we have to, right? Oh, thank you all. My pleasure. It's just a polite thing to say. But I want you to consider it for a second. Serving God's people, it really is a joy. It's a joy. Well, why do you guys do that? Because it's a joy. Well, what do you get out of that? So much joy. It's a reward to be able to do that. Consider Paul himself. How many Christians he dragged kicking and screaming in chains. And now he gets to serve. Why is it that all those Christians throughout the years sang his praises as they were persecuted? They were glad to be a part of the suffering that Christ had. Amen. It was a joy to them. It was a reward. I can't believe I get to do this. Brother Mark Clark down in Clarksville, he said this today during a service. And I can't say it verbatim because I've only listened to it the once. But he said this. He goes, we need persecution. Maybe persecution would have done us good. Right? We talk about losing elections and things like that. Maybe a little persecution would do us good. Why? Because I think a lot of us, we come into the church, we no longer see this as a reward. We no longer understand the value of it. We go to some countries in this world today, you go to jail for it. They'll burn the building down. We walked in with floodlights on. We've got a massive sign in the front, please come in. We've got a spire that sits out of the top of the church just so if you're walking, you can see us. We're not hiding anything. Heard somebody say, well, I'm a little nervous about putting things out there because some of the things I have to say aren't very popular. Listen, our website's going to be Exhibit A one day, I'm sure. I don't know if I'll be the pastor on that day, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be Exhibit A in somebody's hate crime. It is. You can't talk about sin that way. It's hurtful. You can't talk about being forgiving to people who don't deserve it like that. That's hurtful. You can't do it. I have to do it. And even more so, it's my reward to be able to do it. Why? Because I don't see people going off and living happy and bountiful lives in that sin. I see people in a fiery building needing to come out. We had a lady in the apartment industry. We were in the apartments. She wasn't well. She broke into her son's apartment. And decided that what she would do is she would make food. She wasn't supposed to be there. Apparently there was some relationship issue within the family. But she got into his house somehow, got into his apartment somehow, started making food. I'm not entirely sure what her disease or her illness was. But she became confused. And the food cooked for so long it caught fire. Smoke alarms started going off in the unit. And by the time we got there, the smoke alarms were going off in the building. Smoke filled every orifice, just everywhere. And we ran up, me and another maintenance guy, we ran up to that floor. We opened up that door, and she was just standing there watching the flames. Just whatever was going on, she was not well. And I saw her there, and I said, you have to come with us. She looks over, she says, no, I'm cooking. Man, you want to talk about your heart shattering. You don't know the danger you're in. And it's not the flames that I was concerned about. It's the smoke. We had another fire, and that's what got a lot of the people in that fire. Lost two good human beings. Two young people just starting their life off together. Lost them in a fire. Why? Because of the flames? No, the flames didn't get that high. It was the smoke that got them.
You have to come with me.
Well, you know, it's her right to stand next to the fire. It's her right if she wants to do these things. It's her right to go on down and die and go to hell and do these things. You don't have any right to help her. And that bothers me. I don't think me preaching on sin is hateful. I think it's one of the most loving things you can do. You see these things? God tells you not to do these things. Because we as human beings do these things, we would end up in an eternity in hell. You need to know that this is bad. You need to know that hell is coming. And you need to repent of that sin so I can see you for eternity in heaven. That's where I want to see you. I want to see you in glory. I want to see you well. I want to see you singing God's praises. And I want to see you happy. But many, they don't see it that way. That's mean. That's restrictive. There's only one way in. And we must show you the way. And it is but my reward to be able to do so. Well, why is that a reward? Because there was a time in my life when that was me. And without God, that's exactly who I'd be today. May you sit there, very few people, you get a glimpse of what your life would be without Christ. I know myself enough to know the trouble I'd be in. I like that old song, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere. And man, I'd be running down that road. That'd be the only running I'd ever do with any speed. But not only did he save my soul, not only did he show me how to live, but he gives me the ability to help others find the same. There was no hush-hush. There was no, hey, let me tell you a secret. It's, here is salvation. Now run and tell the others. To be a member of a church, to serve, to be able to do what God has asked us to do, it is a reward. And we ought to be able to look at our fellow Christians and see their being in our lives as a reward as well. What a treat to have you there. Oh, I'm so glad for you. He goes on and he says next, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why wouldn't you let your kids go play out in the street? Now, some of us did. Some of us didn't. I guess it just depended on the street you lived in. But man, you wouldn't let a kid go out there play on Saginaw, would you? Now, I might let my kids ride their bikes up and down the cul-de-sac. Why? Because it's a cul-de-sac. I wouldn't let them ride up and down North Saginaw. Why? It's dangerous. Now, am I doing that because I love controlling my kids? No. I do that because there are inherent dangers and I want them to stay safe. It is why he tells us, that's why Paul tells the Philippians and why God preserved it for us, to stand fast. Why? Because God doesn't want anything to happen to you. I've got a book from the 1800s on my desk. I protect it. I put a nice little cover around it. I use it every now and then. It is a beautiful Bible. And it's got text in it. And it's got it organized by subject and topic. And I absolutely love it as a resource. It's fantastic. Don't go over to my desk and put a cup of water on my desk when that book's out. Why? I don't want it ruined. Why tell the people to stand fast? He doesn't want them ruined. And rest assured, the devil wants to ruin us. He'll put something tempting out there we think will fix everything. He'll give us some false doctrine said with just the most intensity and the most wonderful charisma, and we'll bite into it without ever looking into Scripture to see if it's true. Challenge so many people like that. They'll come up with something weird out of the Bible. Oh, well, I clearly believe in it. It's something the Bible doesn't even come close to saying. And I go to him, I say, have you ever considered any scripture for that? Well, no, it's okay. Dr. So-and-so said it, and they backed it up in 12 of their books, and so it's good. Yeah, but where's the scripture? You've bought into something you got no right to buy it into. It's bad. Not everything that looks good, not everything that seems good is actually biblical. He tells them to stand fast. because the flesh itself desires to collapse. The flesh itself is weak and tired. Man, we've got that cold bug ripping through the house. You wake up in the morning when you got a cold. Isn't that the most wonderful feeling on earth? You go to take a deep breath in and nothing's coming through. You wake up and you're tired. Why? Because when you went to bed, you were tired and you didn't get any sleep. Why? Because you couldn't breathe. The flesh itself seeks to wear us down. The flesh itself seeks things unseemly for us, wrong for us. So we must stand fast. We must brace ourselves. We got to buckle in. He tells them out of fear for them. He tells them out of love for them to stand fast. And my friends, that must be what we do. Stand fast. Well, a lot of other churches aren't doing that anymore. We were never doing it because other churches were. All right? We don't do the hymns that we do because other churches do them and we want to fit in. We do them because they're beautiful. We don't use the King James Bible because when the church was founded, that's what everyone was using it. We use it because it is right. Amen. We use it because it is accurate. We use it because it works. We use it because, I'll be honest with you, we don't have another option. Amen. Well, look at the bookstore. Look at all these other wonderful... Man, we point out the errors and point out the errors and point out the errors, and somebody goes, well, you know... I do know. You got to be careful with how far you stray off the mark. Stand fast. He says this, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. This is the closest thing Paul comes to a rebuke. And all I hear is this, you boys figure it out. You boys figure it out. That happens. Man, the boys are finally getting old enough to where every now and then they'll come up to me, Dad, he did this, blah, 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 blah. And I look over them and say, now here's the thing, you guys are coming at me and you're yelling, and it kind of sounds like somebody did something wrong. I go, what I'm going to give you is about 30 seconds to walk away, figure it out, and come back. Because if I have to wade into it, I'm going to find out somebody did something wrong, and I'm going to have to give somebody a timeout or a punishment. Someone's going to end up taking on an extra chore today. More often than not, you'll just see them walk away. Come back. Dad? Yeah? Never mind. Sometimes that's what needs to happen in churches. I've seen children behave with more maturity than some people in church. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they wore that. I can't believe they took my seat. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. Blah, 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 blah. Get of the same mind. Well, he believes this doctrine. I believe that doctrine. What do we do now? Gee, if only there was something we could study. If only there was something we could look at. If we only had the patience, the kindness, and the love to discuss it. If only. We act as though we don't have a Bible sitting in front of us. Because you don't know why? Because it's not about the doctrine. It's not about the practice. You know what more often than not, you know what the battle is within churches? It's stubborn, foolish pride. Me versus you. And when you get into a way of living to where it's me versus somebody, you're going to have a hard life. It's going to be miserable. Every time that person comes around you, you're going to be miserable. Every time somebody talks about that person, you're going to be miserable. Instead, we can sit down and we can get of the same mind and get of an understanding. Now, evil is evil. We punish evil. I'm not sitting there saying that we just sit there and take light slaps on the wrist for hurting people. That's not my point. My point is when there are differences among people that love each other, there is an easy way to find a solution. We turn to the Bible. We choose love. We choose Scripture. We choose honoring God above all things. What if we no longer battled people because we wanted to win? What if instead it was out of a love for God we told the truth? Well, I'm not always sure I'm right. Then don't fight. That drives me nuts. People arguing over things they've got no ability to prove whatsoever. It's silly. Man, if you're going to have a position, it better be a biblical position. And if you've got a biblical position, you better have some Bible. You better have some Bible. Drives me nuts. Well, where did you get that? Well, you know, it's just what we believe. That's just what I was taught. Yeah, but what does the book say? Well, it doesn't say it. So we talked about this before. In Bible study, there are precepts, principles, and preferences. Precept, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Principle, when I add up a whole bunch of this scripture together, this is the likely conclusion I can come to, right? Nowhere in script, my illustration for this is always drinking, right? Nowhere in scripture does it say, don't drink alcohol. But if I pile together all the verses on alcohol, what does it tell me? God would rather I not. And because I want to honor God, what do? I not. I'm not. Somebody asked me one time, Matt, what kind of a drunk are you? I go, I'm blessed enough to not know. I'm blessed enough to not know. I've seen him angry. I've seen him goofy. I've seen him anxious. I've seen him fine. I've seen him comfortable. I've seen him whatever. I've seen all different kinds. I'm not interested in knowing what kind I am. I'd rather keep it together. Because I've seen too much in my family to want to roll those dice. You know what I mean? Just seen too much. So that's a principle. I add everything together. This is the conclusion I come to. What's a preference? A preference is, well, we can't find a lot of Bible on it. But to be honest with you, I think this would best please the Lord. The illustration I always use for that is what? Them building the fence around the mountain when Moses went up. Where would you put the fence? If you know touching the mountain would kill you, where do you put the fence? My answer, as far away and as high up as possible. Why? Because there's always that one. There's always that one. How close can I get to it? How close can I get to it? Move that bad boy as down as far as you can. When we get together, when we discuss, there better be Bible in our Bible in our argument, one way or the other. Either by precept, by principle, or preference, we must be able to back up the things we're willing to argue over. So he's telling these two that they should be of the same mind. Where? In the Lord. Well, we'll flip a coin over doctrine. You better not flip a coin over doctrine. Somebody told me one time when it came down to something we were talking, well, I guess we just agree to disagree. I go, I don't. I disagree with that. That's the wrong thinking, and you ain't got no Bible to prove it, and I'm worried about where you're going to head if you don't correct that. I go, you need to correct that before it takes you away. We must be of the same mind, not in the loudest voice, not in the deepest pocketbook, not in the person who has the most to say, but we must be of one mind in the Lord. Two people, three people, nine people reaching to God and saying, Lord, what do you say? Amen. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, Paul, he liked to name drop every now and then, but you could tell with him there wasn't the purpose. In this particular case, it's where we see names come up, but it's not to elevate them or honor them. In one case, hey, those ladies that labored with me in the gospel, help them. Help them. Well, what do you need? Well, I tell you what we need is we need some more tracts. What we need is we need some more invites to the church. What we need is prayer. What we need is someone to drive the car. What we need is for someone to teach us how to do this and someone to show us that. Or, hey, listen, we've got somebody who's out sick and someone fill in. Help them. Well, that's not my job. That's not my thing. Let me ask you this. As the pastor of this church, what's not my job? What's not my job? Sweep the floor. Is that my job? It's my job. Why? I'm a member of this church. Clean a toilet. Is that my job? You better believe it's my job. Why? I'm a member of this church. Give the gospel. Is that my job? A lot of people think it's only the pastor's job to give the gospel. It's all of us. Help the widows. Whose job is it to help the widows? The whole church. Whose job is it to give the gospel? The whole church. We all do it. Everybody helping everybody. I got to calm my voice down. I'm sorry. We all do it. I don't have any talent for it. It's not something one is born with the talent with. It's when we practice. Man, I've gone through some where people try to teach me how to give the gospel, and it's almost like a sales pitch, you know? You've got to go over to them, do you believe this? And they go, well, yes, check. Do you believe this? Because this, would you say this? Here's an argument for the existence of God. Here's an argument for your sin. Do you believe this? Yes, fantastic, check. Now bow your head and pray. One person told a joke, but it comes pretty close to a lot of the things I've seen out there. Is that your shoes right there? Are those your shoes? And the person looks down and you just put your hand on the shoulder. Heavenly Father. It's a game. That's not the way we ought to be. Listen, you know how you got saved, right? You know how you got saved. I know about, I don't really like the phrase got saved, but you were saved, right? Lord saved you. You know how, right? Just explain it. Explain it like you. You used to hear that all the time. Well, I'm not loud like you. I'm not talkative like you. You don't have to be. Sometimes there's going to be quiet people out there who like quiet people talking to them. Sometimes there's people out there that like loud people talking to them. But there's somebody out there that needs you to talk to them. You understand? Let us help in the gospel ministry. Now, there are some commentators that say that what's meant here is that perhaps they had fallen on some hard times and that they should help them. Hey, if that's the case, amen to that too. There's no understanding of this passage that would be wrong. Help them. Church ought to be a place where you find help. If it's a place where you ought to feel love, it's a place where you ought to get help. For whatever comes your way. He calls them yoke fellow. You ever see an oxen in their yoke? Two of them together? Wherever one goes, the other one goes. Whatever one's doing, the other one's doing. What's the ox on the left's job? Well, he's got to plow a straight line from here to there. What's the ox on the right's job? To do the same. I pull my side. He pulls his side. We get the ground ready for planting. The job of the church is the same. The effort, the energy, it must be the same. We must be yoke fellows. People striving together in the same instrument, and that is the gospel, to push forward the work of God. And it is with that heart and it is with that mind and that joined energy that we're able to do good both inside of the church as well as outside of it. He mentions the women that labored with him in the gospel. He mentions Clement. And he says, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Well, I get it. There ought to be love in the church. The pastor ought to love the church. There ought to be a crown jewel. And ultimately, we're doing this all for the glory of God. And we ought to be working with the same heart and the same energy to the same end. We absolutely get it. But when do I get the credit? When does my name get mentioned from the pulpit? I knew somebody who did that one time. They went up to the pastor. That was one of their big issues. They had a meeting with the pastor. You could hear it outside the door. I've done this and I've done that and I've given this much. And you never show any gratitude from the pulpit about me. You never mentioned a thing about this thing that I did. Oh. Listen, if you want to write my name down somewhere in the church, it better be in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all I care. Man, some people, they get a piano, some people get a bench, some people get a whole wing of the church. This is the so-and-so fellowship hall. This is the so-and-so. This piano is dedicated to so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. I knew a church where a man of the church had passed away. The family gave a significant amount of money to buy a new piano. The church paid for the piano the rest of the way. And they figured, well, what we'll do is we'll put a small plaque on there. And then somebody else came up to the pastor and said, hey, listen, pastor, I don't think it's very fair that that person's name gets to be on the piano. My husband died just a few months ago. It doesn't make any sense as to why his name wouldn't also be on the piano because he died. And then somebody else came up and they said, well, if that's what we're going to do, this person's name ought to be on the piano as well. And after a while, the piano looks like one of those veteran walls. Happy Veterans Day, by the way, if I haven't mentioned it yet. Why? Why? You need to know I was here. You need to know where I am. You look at the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't deserve to be written in that book. Any recognition for me is useless. I didn't get here on my own. What I did wasn't because of me. What I did wasn't mine own to give. You give that glory to God. Man, the only thing that could ever be said about me is that I'm a person God never failed. That's the best thing that can be said about me, is God never failed him. And it's been my wife's song since the day we got married. God has not failed us. Well, aren't there some hard times? Whew, yeah, there have been. There have been. There have been heartbreaks that have taken place that we had no words for. And I'm a man who's got a lot of words. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't shut up. And I had no words. But God didn't fail us. God never failed us. You look for where my name is. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't go putting my name on a park bench. Amen. Don't go putting my name up on the side of a wall somewhere. And, oh, look at that. Look at this person over there. Now, don't get me wrong. I honor the former pastors of this church. Man, Brother Gordon, I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you the help that Brother Gordon's been to me and the encouragement. Sit there the morning of the wedding. Did you guys get text messages the morning of the wedding from folks? You didn't check, did you? That's good. Focus. I did. I wasn't as focused. Different pastors praying for you. I know this is your first one. Oh, man. Brother Gordon was one of the first ones to get it in. That means a lot to me. We had funerals here before. When Brother Gordon came up for Theda's funeral, I don't think he realized how badly I needed to be comforted. I've been through a few of them before, and I'll be honest with you, doing your guys' funerals is hard. It's hard. So when Brother Gordon was there, and he's up there doing it, man, that's wonderful. We honor these men. I never got a chance to know Brother Titus, but we honor these men. But we don't want you to remember our names in the end. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's enough. Remember, this is our reward. For what? Well, I don't know. Why do we get rewarded with this? Why is that what we get? We didn't do anything to deserve it. Typically, what the reward is, I did this, I get that. Man, you want to talk about somebody who knows about rewards? You talk to Caspian. Caspian knows all about it. All right, now listen, if we do this, Dad'll do that. If we do this, he'll do that. If we line everything up together, it's going to be like a party tonight. And he just He's going to be, the closest thing I've got in my children to a couponer is going to be him. He knows exactly how to organize that stuff. I just, all right. And then Dad's got to do this. We'll have movie, popcorn, and... I don't know why we get the reward of each other's presence. I don't know why we get the reward of this church. I don't know why we get the reward of being able to do the service. But man, we have the reward. After all, the Bible does say that anybody who does it for man's applause, that's what you get. If that's what you want, if you want the adulation of men, as one pastor says, there you go, but you're missing out in heaven. You're missing out in heaven. And I'll even say this, I'm a big fan of, you know, throwing roses around before the person's gone. Typically, we give roses to people who died or flowers to people who died. As George Yount says, we ought to pass out the roses while the people are here to smell them. But it ought not to be what we seek. What do we seek instead? We seek to honor God. That is when this becomes a reward. That is when this becomes our joy. That is when everything becomes wonderful. When our eyes are planted firmly on God and we are listening to Him and we are in His will, then it becomes wonderful. Stray but just a little off the path and shame finds you. And despair finds you. And depression and anxiety finds you. And decisions that you've made that you shouldn't have made come creeping up on you. And it just seems like everything's terrible and you're more distanced from God and you're more distant from His people. Why? Because we strayed off the path. Get back on it. Amen. And experience the Lord and experience God's people the way that that passage of Scripture says it. Be a joy to God. Be the reward we should be to each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,